B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
He got three steps on the corner. The safety, I think, was nowhere near him. And he just bobbled the ball. But like you said, Trey, he probably looked at that safety coming and lost focus of the football.
Yeah, he short-armed it.
Yes, he did. Alligator, I don't know what to call that. I'll just, you know, that was the game right there.
Yeah, that was it.
The game.
There's a couple of different things that I think you can look at. And thanks for the call, Ray, that you could say were the game. Nelson's drop was certainly one of them. Another one was, like I said a second ago, Zach Ertz not being able to get past the first down marker there on the final play of the game on that fourth down.
Pretty cool! Pretty damn cool!
And I know some people just want to draw up an excuse because he got hit in the ribs again, like he did his rookie season in the preseason. Carson Wentz was abysmal in the first half.
Yeah. It was the worst half of football I've seen him play.
10 quarterback hits.
And it might have been the worst game the offensive line has played.
Yes.
So what?
10 quarterback hits, 3 sacks.
What changes that in the fourth quarter? So they score the touchdown to go ahead. On that drive, he was, including the 2-point conversion, he was 9 for 9. And then when they get behind, he comes back out on the series where Aguilar missed the wide open, which would have been a touchdown, 5 for 10 for 63 yards with a huge drop. What changes that those numbers can just... He goes 14 for 19 for 135 yards on those final two drives.
On his final two drives. So let me see here. Let me go back to my notes. So here we go. So you look at... All right. So yeah, he came back. He had that the 2-point conversion to Ertz. And then now we flip back, and then here you go. You got a 2-point. He was complete to Nelly.
Right.
Incomplete. Dropped. That's what Nelly dropped it, short-armed it. And then you had a complete to Sproles, incomplete to Sproles, incomplete to Ertz. Ertz is out because of ribs.
Right.
Then you had a sack.
Right.
And then now you had a
43-yarder.
You had the 43-yarder. JP goes down. Then now you got Dillard that comes in there, then incomplete, then complete to Sproles, incomplete to Ertz, and then Ertz doesn't run the right yardage. Then now you go, out on downs. That's, I don't know. The inability to run the ball, though, I think, was a huge thing with this game.
Did they give up on that too soon? I know there was nothing
like
there.
There was no push.
I was just going to say, Trey, from the novice's view, it looked like they weren't moving anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like there was no push. It seemed like their defensive line accepted the challenge and came out there and was just like, nah, y'all not going to run the ball on us, and they shut it down.
I got the feeling that Miles Sanders was a guy that was just spending way too much time behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, too much trying to cut.
Dancing.
Just go ahead and hit it. There were a couple times in my notes, I'm like, man, you got to hit it here. But he bounced it outside that one play where you caused a holding play on for JP. Both JP and Lane got called for holding. Because you got Sanders trying to bounce it outside. I mean, the play was designed for you to hit it up inside. You know, you just got to go with it.
It was their first series. Yeah. First series, you got a completion of Ertz, and then they give it to Sanders. I have it in my notes, too. No yards, too much dancing, and then you had a penalty.
Yeah.
I do have to tell you, 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners, the area's number one resource for all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear with delivery right to your job site. Call or shop online at PantherEast.com. And you are listening to 97.5, The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. So if you look at the options right now, if we were just talking a second ago about why they lost this game, the finger point and all that stuff is going to happen today and really throughout the week before they move on to the Lions and hopefully improving, obviously, to 2-1 on the season. But if you look at Ronald Darby's play in the secondary, if you look at Zach Ertz's play at the last play of the game for the Eagles, if you look at Nelson Aguilar's drop, Carson Wentz's play in the first half, a game plan that wasn't able to have any adjustment on the fly, as Dallas Goedert was going to be a big part of your game plan going into it with how the Falcons and Dan Quinn like to play that off or defense that's close to the line of scrimmage and keeping everything tight, having one deep safety to make sure there's nobody like a DeSean Jackson beating you deep, they were going to try to play within that 10 to 15 yards. That's what the Eagles' game plan was going into it. Dallas Goedert getting taken out of the game before he even got a chance to play, and then DeSean Jackson, and then Alshon Jeffrey. Do you look at those injuries and blame them more so than even how the Eagles played in that game? The reason I can't go there is because there were glaringly obvious mistakes made by the Eagles in this game that cost them self-inflicted wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Clements return, the fumble on the kickoff return to start the second half.
Now, that was huge because here you go. You come back out. You fired up. You get everybody in there at halftime. All right, guys, let's go. Here we go. Here we go. Let's go. Let's get something going. And everybody comes out of there fired up. And then Corey Clement, you know, gets the ball punched out. Now that creates a fumble. And then he comes up with his shoulder hurt. Now, the shoulder injury was after the ball got knocked out when he ended up hitting the ground. The shoulder injury wasn't when the ball got knocked out.
He didn't fumble as a result of the injury, right?
Yeah.
The ball was punched, right?
The ball was punched out.
I just can't help but think, like, if Corey Clement did that with Bill Belichick, would we see him again for the next 8 weeks?
Maybe not.
No.
Probably not. Because that's a momentum play. Like, yeah, it's devastating. You just gifted them back. Like, talk about the ideal time to get the ball in the second half. You just gifted them momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gifted.
They got the ball first. Score.
Yeah.
So now instead of you having an opportunity to come out and score, you give them the ball, and then they ended up turning
it
around for a
score. There's shifts in those games with momentum, and that was one of them. And jeez, that's a killer.
So as much as I'd like to say that after that game, as we started the show, like if anybody was trying to salvage any bit of a good feeling after the game, considering that you were so terrible, just play in general. Obviously, the injuries happened before the game, some of them, but you were so bad as a team in that first half, is there any saving grace to you that they were right there at the end where they could almost win this game? And I have to say no, even though it's the injuries, because the self-inflicted wounds were so glaring. There were fumbles, there were interceptions, there was just miscommunications, there was bad offensive line play throughout the game. Mm-hmm. It just seemed as if the Eagles, injury or not, were not prepared for this game. From start to finish, and I know Dallas Goedert, as I just mentioned, was supposed to be a big part of the game plan, but when you watch this game throughout from start to finish, did they look like a team that was prepared to play in this game?
No.
No.
And you mentioned it. Maybe their game plan offensively was such that it really heavily involved a two tight end set, and it got taken away. But at the same time, like I asked Trey earlier, are the coaches thinking on their feet at a proper level? And you know, because it just seems like adjustments are too long coming. You know, it's all right. The run game wasn't there last night, but they got so blatantly away from it that you knew passes were coming all the time, and Carson wasn't doing well. And I'm sorry, even though your offensive line isn't getting maybe the push you wanted early, don't you have to rely on them anyway? Don't you have to say, all right, guys, we don't have any receivers out here. We're down a tight end. You guys are the ones that are healthy, and you're one of the best in the league. Sorry, we got to rely on you. Pick it up.
Mac Hollins was one of your healthiest players last night.
Where were you for the Mac Hollins game?
Yeah. I'm watching this, and I'm watching Mac Hollins make plays. First off, he had the great touchdown, the punt that put the Falcons deep in their
And he's got a phenomenal first down dance. I will give him that. The little shoulder pickup thing.
A little shimmy?
Yeah, a little shimmy and point.
Yeah.
It's working.
It's a back attack.
you look at that first series. I mean, you know, you had two passes and only one run, you know, and that was one of the one plays on the first run where you were looking for them to hit it, you know. So you start the game off with a pass that was complete dirts. Then you had a run. And then you had a play action that was incomplete, but you had a holding that bailed you out. Then now you had two short runs, you know, didn't really get anything. And then you have a pass that was incomplete to Nelly. JP gets beat. Then, bam, there you go. You're punting.
Yeah.
That's your first series.
But there was no momentum established in that first half throughout.
No.
The only momentum you saw was when Josh McCown came in for, what, five plays?
Yeah, that was it.
And are we all on the same? I forget. Who's on the same page? Who's not? McCown should have at least stopped and completed that one drive.
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Bob, are you the only one?
I am the only one. Have fun, Bob.
Have fun on Bob Island.
Lonely Island.
Actually, Bob Island is pronounced Bob Island. 610-632-0975.
Or as the friends know it, Bobby Island.
Bobby Island.
But there's a little cove on Bob Island called Bobby Island. Let's get to Ian in New England. You're on 97, or Northeast Philly, sorry. Ian, what's going on?
I was about to say.
I know. Yeah. England, I see N-E on the board. That's why. Yeah.
What's up, y'all?
Yeah.
Listen, even with everything you just was breaking down, Mark, that we wasn't prepared to win the game. It didn't look good. Carson played bad. If he catches that god darn ball, we win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what he say. Lost it in the lights, but he ain't losing the lights the rest of the night. The Hail Mary pass that he caught was higher than that one. So how the heck can you blame it on the lights? I'm not trying to hear the lights, man. He stinks. He should have been in Houston. And we should have Clowney. We have no pass rush at all.
Look, I think the guy just flat out choked on that play that would have put you up. Yeah, I just think he flat out choked.
I'm with you. He choked. He stinks. He's dumpster juice. He need to go. That dude is trash.
Oh.
We need to go get Minkah Fitzpatrick because Darby coming off the ACL. That's what I'm gonna say is with him. He can't run as fast as he used to. Not right now. He needs another year to get his speed back. But everybody is looking at what these first two games with the receivers is doing to us, and we are going to get lit on fire.
I hear you, Ian. Thanks for the call, man. Ian in Northeast Philadelphia, thank you for the call.
Yeah, not New England.
Appreciate it, man. I can't stand the fact that he didn't make the play last night.
Yeah.
Did Nelson Agholor go through a little protocol last night as well?
Yeah. He went through a concussion protocol.
Everybody on the team did.
Did he have trainers?
It was required.
By the way, I love sometimes when a GIF comes up and it's just the perfect GIF.
Yeah.
Last night I was like party in the Eagles medical tent.
Yeah.
And of course, what comes up is like a GIF for a party tent is Billy Madison coming out of his tent with a keg of beer. And I'm like, yeah, perfect. Tweeting it out. But last night you're watching all those guys going in and out of the tent. Nelson Agholor was one of them. Goes through concussion protocol. Goes across the middle on the touchdown reception from Carson Wentz that puts you up 20-17. And I'm supposed to say the guy's garbage? The guy's trash?
No.
I'm not going that far.
I wouldn't go that far.
He didn't make the play last night that you needed him to make. And if you're being real, if you're being honest with yourself, at 1:53, that ball goes through his hands. He alligator armed it. He choked, whatever you want to call it. That ball went through his hands. You mean to tell me if the Falcons get that ball back, everyone's 100% confident that Matty Ice is going to be Matty Ice of Boston College and drive that ball down the field for a field goal to win that game? No. Or, excuse me, to tie the game and force overtime?
Hmm. Am I confident that's not going to happen?
Right.
No.
Confident that's not going to happen. Did I double negative
it? I'm confident that he would take them down to tie the game.
Yeah, no, he chokes against the Eagles. To hell with that.
The only reason they won this game is because they've given up 700 passing yards in two games.
The only reason they won that game is because there was a no call on Mohamed Sanu blocking the back.
Oh, I watched that. Yeah, nah, I wouldn't have called it.
No, there's like a lot more reasons, but stick with me on this one.
Okay. By the way, if that two-point conversion counts, I hate to say it,
yes!
But a field goal would have won the game.
And that is
a
the
field
dumbest.
Would have won the game.
Oh, for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we talked about this last Monday because it came up in the Saints game. We'll get into it again.
Terrible rule.
The NFL has just stepped in it.
Yeah, they
really
have.
Like a big old heaping steaming pile of it. They have stepped in it with terminology and rule changes over the last couple of years, and no better example than the Carson Wentz play trying to dive for a two-point conversion where he allegedly gave up. Or excuse me, gave himself up. Time of the Fanatic 7-12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
I know no one wants to say this, and he actually picked the wrong fight last night, but he made the right point. Chris Collinsworth last night challenging their official in the booth for Sunday Night Football. Well, it was the right thing to do, but it was like the wrong guy to fight for it because obviously they don't have any say over it anymore. The rule's been made. It's judged by the coaches and judged by the officials themselves. It's over. But somebody needs to explain this to me. And this came up in the Saints game last week. How do you either lie on the ground or dive head first where you get those extra yards and that's giving yourself up? And there's no better pile of you-know-what to step in than the NFL to step in than what happened last night with Carson Wentz on the two-point conversion where he dove for the end zone, dove for the goal line, trying to get those 2 points, and I think it was Vic Beasley that came over and hit him and marked him down. Originally called a two-point conversion good, got overturned upon further review, and they say he's giving himself up.
Well, his knee did hit the ground before he crossed the
line. Oh, it did. But the terminology of giving himself up while he's going for the score is ridiculous because when you slide to give yourself up, you're down where the slide started.
Right.
So where does the dive start where he would be considered down anyway?
Where his knee hit.
Right, but what I'm saying is if he wasn't touched, would that just be he's down?
Yeah, they're saying that he's down. When it says his knee hit the ground, he's down.
How is that giving yourself up?
Yeah, there has to be some common sense applied to the rule. If that's going to be your stupid rule in the first place, sure. But common sense says if the guy's trying to score, he's not giving himself up.
But what I'm saying is if you're calling that a giving yourself up like you would a slide, right? if you're calling that play, the player is giving himself up, then where's the flag for a late hit?
Yeah, there should have been.
Like, where is that? Like, if that's the terminology.
They contradicted themselves.
Exactly. That's why they stepped in it last night. Because if that's the call on the field, if that's the terminology we're using to describe the play and saying it's the same thing as a slide, then, okay, where's the late hit then? Where's the call on that?
I think the NFL might be looking at themselves this morning like, oh, yeah, maybe that doesn't make sense.
There's the conference call I think they do on Tuesday mornings with the officials. It's like, all right, this was a mistake. Because look, it just looks dumb when you have the play call from a week ago with the Saints where the player gave himself up, quote unquote, where they ended up getting the game winning field goal. That's just one thing where it looks stupid. This is another where you're literally putting points on the board and you're taking them away because, oh, no, he was down because he gave himself up. How does that make any sense whatsoever? He's still trying to gain yards.
Officials can't officiate anymore because of replay. They don't know what to do. Should I call it? What difference is it? Replay will ultimately, most times, get it right. But the human element of it all is they don't know what to do on the field. There is a huge cloud of doubt over officials' heads of what to do. And more times than not, when they do take action, as in what happened in the New Orleans-Los Angeles Rams game yesterday, they're usually wrong. I mean, there was a clear fumble in that game, and the guy, somebody decides to blow a whistle and blow it dead out of nowhere. And there's no way that should have been done. It should have been right in their head. Well, we're going to have to go to replay right after this. Let it play out. The officials just don't know what to do. It's like playing a game, Trey, where you're uncertain of what they're going to call or what. It's not a way to play a game. You have to be certain about what you're doing, and it's not a way to ref a game either. They're just totally uncertain. They don't know what to do anymore.
But their heads are spinning.
They are. It's been taken out of their hands, and they don't know exactly what to do.
And is it Terry McCauley? Is he the official for NBC now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was doing it last year as well. When he got asked that question by Collinsworth, he was like, that's the rule. I got nothing. I know what I'm gonna do. I got nothing. That's why I got out of this crap.
I don't agree with
that's why now I'm in broadcasting.
Yeah.
But it is weird, and it was a great play. Look, it was a bad play call, but for Carson to try to execute it, I think we can all, again, throw out the idea of Carson Wentz ever changing any ounce of style of play.
But to Trey's point, that's the play call?
Right.
Yeah. Like, really? The guy's got bruised ribs and... You know, I know you were doing quarterback sneaks throughout the game and stuff, but really?
Like, the quarterback sneaks, I don't mind as much because...
You're kind of wedging yourself between linemen and protecting yourself
and
a little bit.
And you're going down. I mean, it's football. Something bad
but
can
you're
happen.
You're going to have them roll out there and expose them to more hits. Okay.
And that's the same particular play where he blew his knee out against the Rams.
And watching that play again, I don't believe there was ever an option to give it to, who was it, Miles Sanders in the backfield?
No.
It didn't look like that was a read option or a zone read or anything. That looked like a quarterback keeper all the way.
Yeah, that's what it was designed for. And then you had the one blown play where he just took off running. That was earlier in the game.
Trey, was that a broken play or was that an option?
I think it was broken. It was a blown play because he looked like,
because for a second I thought it was an option.
Yeah, no, he was supposed to hand that off. And somewhere it got a little mixed up and then he just had to take off.
The announcers kept saying like, oh, that's a strange call. And I thought the same thing, Trey. I was like, it wasn't a call. It was a blown play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the two-point conversion was just a blown play?
No, the two-point conversion was a call. You know, that's what they called for him to do like a quarterback keeper.
The one earlier after Wentz hurt his
ribs,
yeah.
It was kind of middle of the field where it just looked like he was supposed to hand it off, and I don't know what happened. So he was like, all right, I got to go.
Just
took off.
Gotcha. Let's get to AJ in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
What's up, morning show?
Yo,
good
buddy.
Morning.
Hey, I know I didn't call y'all since the last time with that Mike Scott thing. And it's funny because it came to mind. I know DeAndre Bembry from St. Joe's played for the Atlanta Hawks. If he would have went to the game with an Eagles jersey and gotten a fight with Atlanta fans, we would be irate right now. And that goes to show you the culture, because some places that would never happen. We couldn't even fathom Atlanta Falcons fans fighting a guy from Philadelphia that played for the Hawks.
True enough, but I will say this, AJ. I'm kind of done with the whole Mike Scott situation.
It's easy to do. We just, some people got to be careful. But I hate it. The coaches got to take a long look in the mirror. The team that played this team last week rushed the ball. Trey, tell me, did you see any imagination with the formations, with the running styles that we had, the running plays? I didn't see any traps. I didn't see any pulling guards. I didn't see any jet sweeps to get the defense. We should have been running the ball, and if we would have ran the ball, none of the wide receivers would have got hurt. The quarterback probably would have stayed upright.
I think the offensive coordinator need to be looked at, and the defensive coach. Just calling blitzes is not all the thing that you guys can do. You got to mix it up. Some quarterbacks been in the league for so long, they can spot an all-out blitz in advance, man.
Well, that's what what happened on the Julio Jones play.
And see, he got blitz happy because he's not used to blitzing. I think the team chasing points with the two-point conversions is signs that we are kind of naive with our coaches. Our coach needs to look in the mirror and change some things up. Get back to some man football, not passing the ball 50 times a game. Carson going to get killed. And yes, that backup quarterback should have finished the drive. He should have finished the drive for the touchdown, not let Carson come back in, man.
Thanks.
I had a whole bunch of problems with the coaches.
I hear you. Thanks for the call, AJ. I appreciate it. Here's the thing. For everyone that wants to talk about Jim Schwartz and not blitzing, he was going after Matt Ryan last night.
Yeah, he went after it.
And he has had success with that in the past, going after Matt Ryan the way he did. No better example than the NFC Championship game. First play coming out of halftime, I believe it was. Roddy McLeod, safety blitz, gets at Matt Ryan. Totally just nullifies any momentum that the Falcons are trying to get going in that game in the second half. It was a great play call. This game, they were trying to get after Matt Ryan time and time again. Malcolm Jenkins blitzing, and Sendejo blitzing, and actually getting to Matt Ryan. I thought Jim Schwartz went into this game with a really good game plan. I think Ronald Darby just got beat. One thing that did bother me was early in the game, Rasul Douglas, they even tried challenging this, saying that it was pass interference. Rasul Douglas was playing physical on Julio Jones. That's how Jalen Mills has had so much success on Julio Jones, playing physical.
Right.
When we talked about it before the weekend, when we talked about it on Friday, who do you want to see play on Julio Jones? Is it Ronald Darby? I wanted to see a guy like Rasul Douglas get that opportunity because he is willing to play a physical style of cornerback. That's the way. I mean, he's a safety, converted to corner. He's used to playing physical. The one or two plays that he had on Julio Jones, he played well. The last one, unfortunately, he got blocked to the outside in the back by Mohamed Sanu, and Julio Jones had a 54-yard score.
Did you see Sanu's reaction as soon as it happened?
What, I didn't touch him?
No, he did the fist pump. He knew it was a touchdown as soon as that block happened.
Oh, yeah.
Block.
And Julio Jones reached almost 21 miles an hour on that run.
Yeah, that was one of the things.
He's like 6'5", and he reached almost 21 miles an hour.
Hey, I was passing Brandon Brooks when he was coming in this morning, and that was the first thing. He was like, man, I didn't know Julio Jones was that fast.
Yeah.
To be that big, to see him.
It's insane.
That fast, that was kind of like, whoa. It looked like he just took three steps and was there.
Yeah, pretty much he was.
Yeah.
Roddy McLeod tried to get the shoestring tackle.
Not going to catch him.
Missed by about half a foot.
Yeah.
And then Sendejo,
not a chance.
He ran after him.
He tried.
There was
valiant effort.
There was Julio Jones, and then like maybe 30 seconds later, and you saw Andrew Sandejo running to the picture.
Yeah.
It was like a good effort dive.
Well, okay.
It's a hell of a play call by
the
Falcons.
Just to show like,
man.
Hey, I tried.
As we talk about problems throughout the day of this game, there was one overriding consistent problem. Nelson Agholor had an awful play.
Yeah.
All right. Zach Ertz, awful play.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, abysmal first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
The overriding most consistent problem in this game was Isaac Seumalo.
Yeah.
From start to finish of this game, quarter one through quarter four, the 0-0-0-0 on the clock.
Yeah.
The most consistent problem was Isaac Seumalo.
And Brady Jarrett's very good, but that's no excuse. Trey, is Seumalo good?
You know what? He's solid. You know, but you saw him getting a lot of push, especially even Washington. You saw a lot of push, even on run plays, getting pushed back. So now here you go. You're getting a situation where he's getting bulled back. I mean, he's giving up way too much ground at being at the guard. So now they start running these delayed TEs where JP at times was dragging what we would call, okay, if you have a wide three technique, you would kind of set vertical as a tackle and kind of what we call a drag, where you drag a little bit and kind of hold that three technique a little bit just in case there's a game, and then you come off later to the end. Well, there were too many times where JP was like trying to drag, and then they would come with that delayed stunt, or JP would drag and be late getting out there to the end and getting tossed to the ground because the guy, he's late getting out there to the end. So, you know, Isaac has the man up and he can't give up that much ground when you're getting bull rushed.
All right, you have 10 quarterback hits. Your average per carry was about not even 2.5 in this game. It was like 2.3, 2.4, 2.4 yards per carry. Isaac Seumalo was in front of a lot of those runs. Was Miles Sanders, the guy that we were just talking about, is dancing too much behind the line of scrimmage, seeing those holes close up quickly and trying to bump it to the outside? or was he just making mistakes behind the line of scrimmage?
I think sometimes a lot of the plays were inside zones plays anyway. So it was trying to get in between the tackles. To me, it seemed like they were trying to attack right up the middle instead of trying to bounce some of those plays outside. You just coming off a game where they gave up 172 yards on the ground.
All right. So
sometimes you can run a stretch. Sometimes you can run some of that stuff outside. I don't know if having Dallas Goedert not being in the game plan affected the way they wanted to attack the outside edges of the plays, but it seemed to me that most of the run plays were inside zone plays where it was just a big pile up in the middle and hopefully somebody will squirt out of there.
That's what disappointed me the most of last night, is that with all the injuries that you did have, you didn't have any on the offensive line, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody that was affected for the
Peters
full game.
Peters missed a play, whatever it was.
And that's your strength. I mean, that's your strength. They are one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in the game. You got to play to your strengths, especially when your other strengths are depleted by injuries. And the fact that they just didn't keep trying to run the ball a little bit more, that upset me. I thought it was the perfect time to try to do so. And see, especially, as Trey pointed out so great last week, that they could get run on all day long by Minnesota. You had to pick something up from there. Well, why didn't the Eagles play to their strengths a little bit more?
I would have to think Isaac Seumalo had the worst game he's ever had in his career, and probably the worst game of any offensive lineman throughout the NFL yesterday.
Here's the stat we talked about. I put it in Slack. I don't know if you saw it, because you mentioned it before we got on air this morning. But according to PFF last night, it was the single worst game given to any position player in PFF history. He allowed 2 sacks, 6 quarterback hurries, committed 3 penalties, and graded equally as poor as a run and pass blocker.
Are you seeing that?
Maybe
from,
that's why they didn't run more.
Are you seeing that from Pro Football Focus?
That's from somebody,
Cody
Schwartz. Yeah, translating the PFF grade.
Okay, it's pretty terrible. So here's my
Not
question.
Good.
Yeah, here's my question. Where's coaching in all of this?
Trey's had the spotlight pointed that way for a while now.
But I'm not just talking about Jeff Stoutland. I'm talking about Doug Peterson. If you see an offensive lineman struggling that much in the game, how come it looked like there was no adjustment? Even throughout the game.
What adjustment are you going to make, though?
Run the ball more.
You were trying. I mean, but look at all the...
Because I know it, but if I'm getting my quarterback killed 10 hits, as you pointed out, Trey, sacked 3 times, I'm at least trying to make some kind of adjustment where I'm getting rid of that ball more.
Yeah, they tried.
Or faster.
They tried to run it. But it was a lot. Like I say, for me to sit down and break down what type of run play it was. Right. Like when I'm watching the game, I'm just like, all right, that was an inside zone. That was an outside zone. Then I'll go back and watch it when I get the coaches film and be able to say, okay, this was a trap or whatever it was. But most of the plays were just, you're just trying to bust everything up the middle. I really think not having Dallas in this game plan, because everybody knows Zach Ertz is not a run blocker. That's not his thing. Right. You know, yak and run blocking, not his thing. Right. So, all right. So,
knowing where the sticks are?
That, obviously not his thing. You know what?
Definitely not his thing.
Has his game changed since he started wearing the secret window hat?
The secret...
I know I made this reference to you guys earlier, and you guys never watched the movie. Never mind. All right.
The secret window hat?
The secret window. Yeah, the hat from the secret window.
Well, what does the hat look like?
It's Johnny Depp, man. You know.
Oh, you're talking about his ridiculous hats?
Yeah, the hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp hats are always weird hats.
Yeah, but the hat that he started wearing, those big brim hats in Secret Window. You know, but anyway.
That's where it started?
Yeah, my bad. That was
No, let's stay with this for a second. Hold on.
Is Zach Ertz's hat preventing him from being a better tight end? 610-632.
My bad.
Hold on. Oh, that hat.
Yeah. Secret window.
That's a different hat. You're talking about like a knit hat?
Yeah, no, like it's a big brim hat.
Big brim hat.
Yeah, big brim hat that he started wearing the secret window.
I just
window.
Google image Johnny Depp.
No, you can't go Johnny Depp. You had to go secret window.
I did.
Johnny Depp.
What's
Depp.
Worse, the secret window hat or Carson Wentz's bow tie? 610-632.
The bow tie.
Oh, I got
you. Yeah, that was ball.
Yeah. So you see the hat? Yeah,
I got
so
it.
There it is.
Yeah.
The hat from Secret Window, which is also
awesome. Oh, Zach was seen it.
The only one
hat.
That comes up is Johnny Depp in a knit hat.
No, this one, right?
Yeah. You got the hat right here. Yeah. Look at that.
All right, that's a bad hat.
Yeah.
That's a terrible hat. Let's get Graf up here in media. What's up, Graf?
Hey, I just say, Malu, that's the last time I'm going to say your name. Your name is number 73, because that's all I heard all night.
Yeah,
I don't blame you. I don't blame you a little bit, Graf.
I can't stand it, dude. It doesn't make any sense. Thank you for throwing out that stat. It's one thing I was going to talk about.
The other thing I was going to talk about, too, is, like, I don't... Okay, so you guys talk about, you know, the quarterback giving up, giving himself up on the two-point conversion, right? The other play, too, that got me mad, they called him down, and during that, he escaped. Like, he was on his feet the entire time, and they called him down during the one play. It was like a 3rd and 9. Do you guys remember?
Yeah, they called it a sack, and he escaped and got rid of the ball.
Right, like, you don't even give him the opportunity to get away from it. It's not like the defensive end or defensive lineman had him long enough to be able to call for this. Call him to be down.
The one that he completed where he almost went down, that was more of a sack than the one that they called a sack.
Exactly. And then it's just so aggravating. The whole thing was just aggravating. Like, you bring up the fact that Zach Ertz, has he learned in his entire career that you have to run past the sticks? Has he figured that out? He hasn't figured it out. Maybe he figured it out.
I would say no.
It is so aggravating. We all know. We're not football players. I get it. Like, I get it. But we all understand the fact that if you need 10 yards, you should probably go 11 and then cut back. And when you turn around, then you make up that 1 yard. Now you're catching the football on the sticks, not running 10 and catching the football at 9. Like, it's crazy. And the Nelly drop, look, man, it happens. Did he make up for it a little bit? Sure, he wanted to give us dramatics, so he catches a 40-yard fourth down throw. But, like, the whole game was a cluster, man. That first quarter, you could just see that Carson Wentz was shell-shocked. Mm-hmm. He gets smoked, and he just looked shell-shocked. And you know what? At the end of the game, I'll tell you what, I hope Alshon, Dallas Goedert, D-Jax, all those guys are thinking to themselves, damn, I got to get on it, because my quarterback just showed me up when it comes to toughness.
Yep.
That kid continued to play last night, and I got a newfound respect for Carson Wentz after that game last night. He was a warrior. There's no other way to put it. He was a warrior.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. I agree with that, man, because, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, he laid it all out on the line.
But here's the thing, and I heard even Seth Joyner say this after the game as well on Post Game Live. We've known that about Carson.
I know.
The man played with a broken back last year, had a 102 quarterback. Well, when we found out about the stress fracture, but the first words I said, we have a badass at quarterback.
Play with a torn knee.
Yeah, two ligaments.
Threw a touchdown. With no knee.
No.
His knee was gone. Knee gone.
Knee was off wearing a Johnny Depp hat. Gone. We didn't even know what was going on.
R.I.P. Carson's right there.
He still threw a touchdown.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. Speaking of scary injuries, there was a scary moment that we didn't get to see last night. We only heard about it. And the player that involved, Zach Berman caught up with last night. Friend of the show, Zach Berman, caught up with him last night. I'll read the transcript of this player that we were scared about for a second. We'll talk about that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. When it comes to business insurance, business as usual doesn't cut it. You need an insurance partner. You need Univest Insurance. Set up your free consultation and analysis today at univest.net. It's more of a John Turturro secret window hat, I think, than Johnny Depp. I think John Turturro was rocking the hat more than, at least in the preview I'm watching here.
Oh. Yeah, but you got to watch the movie, though.
I do have to watch the movie now.
Yeah, you have to
is
watch
it a fantasy,
movie.
Trey?
I don't know. You got to check it
I'll
out.
I'll check
man.
It out.
I can't, you know. I'm not a spoiler. It's an awesome movie, though.
What's not a fantasy is Eagles dropping like flies last night. Dallas Goedert, Alshon Jeffrey, Corey Clement, Tim Jernigan, DeSean Jackson. That was no fantasy last night. But there was a little bit of a scare, and I was teasing this before the break. Jason Kelce went to the wrong sideline.
Yeah.
He got confused.
Am I the only person that whenever you hear something like that, you automatically think Stuart Bradley?
Yeah.
Like, was he hit that hard where he didn't know what was happening?
Yeah, he claims that he just got lost in the play call that happened. He wasn't paying attention and ran to the sideline. Not sure I believe that.
Well, Zach Berman described it from The Athletic, described it on Twitter as such, saying that he caught up with Jason Kelce, and Jason Kelce said, basically, it had nothing to do with a concussion when he went to the wrong sideline. Falcons ran a weird stunt. That's quoted. Weird stunt, which was occupying Kelce's attention. Running through all of that in his head, not paying attention to where he was walking, and he forgot that it was the second quarter. Basically forgot that it was a quarter change, and he was running in a different direction.
Okay.
Trey had a pretty good line during the break. of what he should have noticed.
Like when he didn't see all the red. Everybody has on red over here. Stick on the wrong side.
He's saying it had nothing to do with a head injury. He's just saying he kind of got lost in the moment.
He got spun around.
A little bat.
So like they blindfolded and they spun him around and they're like, all right, go.
I think he was watching Secret Window and he just was still caught up in the plot.
And he was like, wait a minute. Everybody has on red over here. What on the wrong side?
What are with these hats?
Yeah, what's going on?
I never saw it. Did they show how far over he got? Was he like about to sit down and take a drink or something?
No, that's the thing. I don't think he ever saw it on the broad.
I didn't know if I missed it or
and
not.
And I was hoping they were going to show the replay of maybe the play before it to see if he took a good whack on the head or something.
It was like a crazy game that happened. I think there was a big hit at that point. I'm not sure, but...
Well, Al Michaels made reference to it on the broadcast, and I was hoping we'd get the All-22 angle of it, and that just never came.
Yeah.
And Kelsey played the rest of the game. It wasn't like he was missing a lot of time or anything like that.
He just came off and looked like, hey, man, who has the water?
Right. Now, the other thing is that if it was concussion protocol, you would at least hope that it was a little further along, maybe a little faster than it was for Carson Wentz. Because Carson had a huge issue last night, even said so after the game. We'll let you hear a little bit later of why he missed so much time late in the second quarter of that game before halftime. And that's when he saw Josh McCown come in and start slinging it for this offense. But regardless, Carson Wentz plays the rest of the game starting in the second half. I still think McCown should have finished at least that drive. But apparently it was taking a long time for Carson Wentz to go through concussion protocol. He had a big issue with it. Talked about it after the game. We'll get to that in a second. Rashid in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rashid?
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yo.
All right.
Hey, Trey, I got a couple points for you. A couple points for you. Starting with, I feel like Carson had a pretty rough first half, but he showed me everything that I needed to see. He brought us back, got us the lead, and did everything possible for us to win the game. I feel like Nelly dropped the ball. It would have been a short touchdown. You know, so I feel like we got an elite quarterback there in Philadelphia, and I feel like we should be in a good spot moving forward, and then it would be better for it. And then I felt like with Ertz running the route instead of 10 yards, he ran it at 9. That was a critical moment, but I think the game would have been sold up if Nelly just make the catch.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he put it in position. A hell of a throw on that fourth down, come back to Nelly. So I feel like, I would have felt different if we would have had a bad game and we got blew out, we got smoked, and like it came down to the last play. So I felt good about the win. It was a bad, good about the loss. Because we was in a good spot and it wasn't Carson's fault. It was him dropping the ball. So I felt like it was just a tough game. But I feel like we still, should be in a good spot for the rest of the season and just build character. And the other thing I want to say about Aidy Fairmalu, I never seen nothing in my life like such a turnstile and getting like beat on the ball rush. Not only beat on the ball rush, he can't stand up in a running game. I seen him miss like 2 or 3 blocks, the penalties, and like as a former lineman. Tell me, what did you see?
I saw that he was getting pushed a lot. There was a lot of push. Where he's all constantly back in the backfield. And when you have a 5-7 step drop, if he's in the quarterback's lap, that's a problem. Your guards are the one that set the depth of the pocket. So the way you want to have as an offensive line, your tackle set the width, your guard set the depth of the pocket. And if he's getting pushed back into the quarterback's lap, that's a problem.
The thing that kept on repeating in my head that was the overreaction to the game was Chance Warmack, Stefan Wisniewski, and these were guys were supposed to be rotational players with Isaac Seumalo.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just showed me that they didn't have a lot of confidence in him from the get-go, or they at least knew it was going to be a long developmental process with him. And now it's like, yeah, bye, Wiz, this is all you. Now it's the Isaac Seumalo show.
Mm-hmm.
And last night was an epic fail for him.
I think I saw somebody say if he had to be replaced, Big V was going to play left guard.
Yeah.
That's he was going to go from right guard to left guard with never doing it before?
Yeah. What else do you have?
That, to me, looks like a roster problem, doesn't it?
Because you're only dressing 7.
And
so how many offensive linemen did they dress? You dress 7, so you have Dillard, that's your backup tackle.
Who had to come in last night in a big spot.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Big V that could be your guard or tackle.
Sheesh.
Now, Big V is going to play both guards. He would have to play both guards and right tackle, because you don't want to put Dillard out there at right tackle.
No,
right. When you put him out there at that tight end position last week against Washington, you saw what Kerrigan did to him. Mm-hmm. It was late. It wasn't a sack, but he beat him pretty bad when he was over there on the right side. Totally different game for him.
And welcome to the NFL.
They sat three offensive linemen last night. Herbig and Maialata and Pryor all were inactive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, Mark, to what you said. I guess they just have this overriding confidence with Samalu. And Trey, you made a point before. Jason Peters, you think, likes playing better with him, right?
Yeah, you can tell, like, the rapport is a little bit better with him out there, but you can just see that there were times against that wide three technique that JP was he was dragging a little bit because he knew that those delayed TEs were coming.
Mm-hmm.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.